So we are in Deuteronomy chapter 1. What I want to do here initially is just to go through perhaps some history just to get people kind of on the same page. Obviously, it says the fifth book of Moses, so we know that Moses claims the authorship here. Well, really, the Holy Spirit through Moses, as we know, right? The only maybe exception to that would be at the very end of this book, we see Moses dying, and it pronounces him as dead. So more than likely, and of course God, I guess, could use a dead man as well as anyone, right? But it would seem as if, since Joshua was the one that would take over, right, it would be Joshua probably writing the last few verses there as Moses had passed away there and went to be with the Lord. Obviously, the meaning to this, Deuter kind of gives it away. It means there the second law. So here Moses is compelled through the Holy Spirit and through just how the Lord has worked in his life, and it just compelled him to give this law a second time to Israel. And now remember that many of the people at this time were either children at the time the law was given, or they weren't even born yet. So this is the new generation. I mean, here's Moses. He is some 120 years old. This is his last hurrah in a sense, right? So remember, many of this generation wasn't even around at the initial giving of the law that the Lord had given Moses. And of course, we know the rest of the story, where they had disobeyed God in the wilderness there at Meribah. I think it's Numbers 20, I'm not sure, where they disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord basically told them that, they couldn't enter the promised land. And so, here's Moses' final words with his people. He understands that he isn't entering into the promised land, but we also know that the death of Moses would, in a sense, trigger Israel's entry there into the promised land. This is probably the last month and a half of Moses' life. And amazing enough, in the 34th chapter here, verse 7, it says that his eyes were not dimmed, nor his natural vigor diminished. And I thought, wow, I hope when I die, that's me. Here's a guy that's 120 years old, right? 120 years old. At 80 years old, he was asked to take this rebellious people and lead them out of bondage, out of Egypt. And just amazing. And his wits are still there at 120. His vigor to serve the Lord was still there. And believe me, he had seen much, right? He had seen much in 40 years. And so he had seen the good and the ugly, as they would say, right? Though early on, the Lord would say that he and the people wouldn't make it to the promised land, due to their disobedience there in Meribah. So the people present here are those that were born in the wilderness. They had never experienced the bondage of Egypt. They didn't know anything about other than the stories that were told to those that were faithful to, you know, tell their children. They didn't experience the Red Sea opening up and they didn't probably experience much of the wilderness as well. You know, there's points there that they probably missed out prior to the giving of the law. I was thinking of some of the things that went on, like the tabernacle and all that and so forth. So here's Moses. He will now recount the events of the last 40 years. And why is he doing this? Why is he sharing with them what he saw through it all? And I think it was for the encouragement of Israel at the time, this generation, to, as they prepared there to go into the land. Something that we'll see here shortly as we get into this chapter is that in verse 3, we'll see that we are told that these things came in the 11th month, in the first day of the 40th year. So if you can kind of get that in your noggin there. And then in Joshua chapter 4, it would actually tell us on the 14th or on the 10th day of the first month of the 41st year. So there's this gap of time there between the 11th month first day and the 10th day of the first month in Joshua. And then, of course, Moses dies and they mourn his death. Right. So in that time frame, there is this mourning of Moses' death. So interesting enough, when you look at this, Moses would bring them a law, the law, this generation, the law, for 40 days prior to his death. And I just thought that was kind of neat because, he had spent 40 days a couple different times, with the Lord on the mountain. And now, his last dying breaths, he's going to bring the law. And I always think, you know, of our Pastor Bill and those that we respect in the faith. And I think about how they have kind of carried the torch for a long time, right? This is, you know, here he is 80, I don't know, two or three, maybe even four. I lose track, but he looks like his eyes aren't dimmed. He's still got the vigor for the Lord, and it's just an awesome thing, you know, to think that Moses was in this condition so late in his life. He had this passion for Israel, even though he couldn't go into the promised land. He had this wonderful passion about entering the land, and he really brought that vigor and that on fireness to these people as they were going to go into the land there. So I think as we gain in our years, you know, we all get older, right? No matter how young we are, each day we're a little bit older. But as we continue on that path, let us be that one that would have that same vigor, that same brightness, you know, for the Lord, and would want to encourage others in the faith. And of course, we've known those kind of people, right? So we've talked about the disobedience of the Lord to the Lord in Meribah in Numbers 20. So, you know, the reality is Moses understood the good and the bad, right, with obedience or disobedience. And when we get to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So, you know, he wanted, you know, Moses really wanted the people to choose life. He didn't want them to experience the curse of the Lord. He wanted them to experience the blessings through obedience that come through obedience. Also, out of the Old Testament, we see that this book, Jesus quotes the most. You know, matter of fact, we sang a song that out of, you know, ask and you shall receive and so forth. And it was about, in there, it talked about the word of God, how it was better than food, you know, which is taken out of here. So one of the, it's Deuteronomy 8, chapter 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And of course, Jesus would use that in Matthew chapter 4 there, as he was tempted, to use his power, to make stone, bread into bread and so forth. And so, and then we see again, you know, as in that chapter where Satan continues to tempt him, and Jesus says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, you know. And then Satan again is tempting him and wants Jesus really to not go to the cross, you know, not go to the cross and shortcut the cross and bow down and worship him. And he said, he quotes chapter 6, verse 13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. So some real good stuff from the Lord there that he would quote. And, you know, this book is quoted, I think, 80 some times in the New Testament. So it's a pretty packed book here that Jesus, his disciples, also as well, would cherish this book, and so should we, and I think we will. But you know, one of the things that you can look at Moses and think, is there another guy within Scripture that has had such a close relationship with God as Moses? You know, Moses practically came face to face with the Lord, you know. He was very intimate with him. And I think one of the things that really Moses is doing in this book is it shows us his character and how he just yearns for people to have this deep relationship with the Lord. And I think we see a couple elements within this book that we'll look at eventually. But in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So in this book, love is mentioned some 16 times. It's a desire for Moses. He wants the people to be sold out. He wants them to love the Lord their God as he had loved them, you know. So just a, you know, and that's one element. And the other element that we see here, and we've talked before, is that it's obedience. He would write this book because past history revealed the lack of true love for the Lord, but it also lacked obedience to the Lord. You know, we can hear from the Lord through his prophets. We can have the word of God within us. We can have the word of God in front of us, but we also need to take it and put it into action and obey. And Moses knew that disobedience had consequences. The lack of obedience prohibited Moses and his generation there from entering the promised land. And it also affected others. You know, I think of Joshua and Caleb. You know, they wanted, remember, Meribah was about, you know, going into the land and that God had already given them. And they had, God said, I think it's chapter 13 where he says, I'm going to give you this. And they were just supposed to receive it. They didn't. And but Joshua and Caleb went into the land, and they came back just as the other people did. They saw the giants in the land. They saw the fruitfulness in the land, but they knew that God had given them this land, and they trusted God for it. It wasn't that they had to muster up something in order to go into the land. They just needed to trust the Lord, even though it might have been pretty scary for them to enter in. So here we are, verse one, and we're going to go through verse 8. Today, and that's it. You know, we're going to keep it short. It says, these are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plains opposite of Suf, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahad. So, this is the plain of Moab, right? For 400 years, Israel had been, you know, out of the land. They hadn't resided in this land for some 400 years. They had been in the wilderness. They had had the hard life, right? The slavery, the bondage that took place there. And of course, that was all marred with their disobedience as well to the Lord. So as Jesus would use this book to fend off the devil, so I believe that Moses now writes this book for the children of Israel to enter into God's blessing rather than experience the consequences of disobedience and experiencing his curse. So chapter 1, verse 2, we'll read through verse 4 there. It says, it is 11-day journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as command to them. After he had killed Shihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtaroth in Edrei. So here we have Kadesh Barnea. And I guess something to note is that, I think we spoke of it before, is that in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I have given to the children of Israel." So again, God has given this. So apparently, this text isn't asking them to go conquer the land, but to receive it. And so they do. They go into the land. At least they follow part of the direction, right? God sends them to spy out the land. They do so. They return and they have a good report. One of the good reports was that the land was fruitful. They also brought back a bad report. And the bad report was that the people were too strong for them. You know, in verse 28 and 29 and 31 of chapter 13 there of Numbers. Only Caleb and Joshua were given to go, were willing to go into the land, even though they saw the same thing as all the rest of them. It's pretty amazing that God would send out these members from the tribes into this land, and they would come back, and only two out of the group would want to trust the Lord. And I think that goes without saying, that's what it's like today. There's very few that are willing to trust the Lord for His provision. We think somehow we have to go out and do this thing. So, and, you know, when this happened, God was about ready to smite them, right? And it was only through the intercession of Moses, that the people of Israel were even saved. But again, because of their disobedience, Moses and Israel, were not allowed to go into the promised land. With the exception of Caleb and Joshua. So then we see here, it says, in 11-day journey from Horeb, by way of Masir to Kadesh Barnea. So 11-day journey that took 40 years. We snicker and we laugh at it in a sense, right? We think, how can 11-day journey? Well, it was based upon and it was cursed by their disobedience. You know, how long does it take certain people to just turn their will over to the Lord? You know, sometimes it does take that long. I've seen guys that just struggle to obey the Lord's commandments. And sometimes it's a lifelong thing, isn't it? You wonder how somebody can get saved at 20 and still be 20 when they're 50. You know, because they haven't really trusted the Lord through it all. Not only were they cursed, but over this 40 years, they saw the death of a generation. And now this generation would be the generation of the faithful and true, the one that would be trusting of the Lord, the one that would be entering into the land. It says here that he killed, Moses spoke to the children of Israel, blah, blah, blah. Verse 4, after he had killed Shihon, the king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtaroth. So the thing that kept them, kept the last generation out of the promised land was the impossible defeat of those that were in the land. But here Moses and the next generation would move forward in faith, and God gave them that victory over these kings. I think of those that look at their lives and, you know, alcoholism or drug addictions or of the such, and they say, this is an impossible victory. And certainly in the flesh, we run into those things, right, that are impossible. But nothing's impossible for our God. We just need to trust Him. We need to allow Him to move us forward in victory. And He can deliver us from all sorts of bondage. Verse 5, on this side of the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law. On this side of the Jordan, you know, the bottom line is that Moses could have given them the law, right? He could have wished them well and gave them the law and sent them on their merry way into the promised land, but he didn't. He would take 40 days, his final breath, to assure, you know, to assure that he did everything within his power, there it says, to explain this law. He wasn't just throwing it over the wall and saying, well, I'm going to die and so forth. That word explain is ba'er. In the King James, I think it says to declare, or make clear. A good translation that I saw was to dig, to dig deep. It speaks of an expository teaching. It's not just a surfacey thing that we do. We don't just read through scriptures to see how many scriptures we can read in a day or time. I mean, right now we're going to cover 8 scriptures, but we dig into it to see what the Lord would say to us, you know? And that's what Moses' intent was. He didn't just want to throw them the law. He wanted to teach them. This is what it means to follow the Lord. Okay, let's read verse 6 through 8 here. It says, the Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites and to all the neighboring places in the plains, in the mountains and in the lowlands, in the south and on the east coast, or on the sea coast, on the east coast too. Maybe he's talking to me about something there on the east coast, right? To the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. So Horeb is Sinai, right? This is where Moses would receive the law from the Lord. Matter of fact, not once, but twice, because he broke the the first commandments, right? Maybe that's why, you know, and after that, we saw Moses just have a heart for the people, didn't we? And I'm wondering if that just carried on with him as he writes this book to the next generation so that they would know the law. He came to a point where his intercession wasn't necessarily forced. It was something that he enjoyed doing, that I think he loved these people. So here Moses tells this generation how the Lord spoke to them and said, you've stayed here long enough. You know, it's time to move. Of course, we have these times in our lives where the Lord has allowed us to be in one spot and to be stationary. Perhaps it was a time of refreshing, you know, a time of learning or a time of understanding or a time of rest. You know, Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. It says, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. It was to teach us, right, who he was, to lead us to him, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. So we have learned who Christ was. We accepted him. We're trusting in him. And now the Lord asks us to move. And he says, I want you to move on. You've stayed here long enough. And so what do? Well, the Lord has prepared us so that we can move, so we can step into that place in which he has before ordained, right? So Moses here would give us a detail of his conversation with the Lord. It wouldn't be an easy thing, right? Full of confrontation with the Amorites and the Canaanites and various others, right? And so, and then you look at the terrain. If it's not bad enough that the Amorites are there and the Canaanites are there, it's the lowlands or it's the high mountains and the sea coasts and all these different terrains that the Lord would take them into. But Moses recalls that he had set the land before them, and it was for them to receive, right? Would they be like their ancestors and stay out of the land because they feared what was there, you know, that they were stronger than them? So I think it encourages us, even this small section of scripture here just encourages us how important Moses thought the law was to explain, right? To explain to those, that generation, as they went into the promised land. And I think it's important today that as we go through scripture, it's not just me preparing, preaching. It's about us. It's about how God's children handle the Word of God. Are we sitting down and studying it and asking the Lord to reveal, to explain to us, you know? And as we've said before, Moses is a type of Christ, right? And so if you're having a hard time understanding something in his Word, well, he's a good one to go to, you know, because he wants us to understand it. He doesn't want us to keep us in a closet. He wants us to know the Word of God. So let's pray, and then you guys can chime in, those that have something to add, and we can fellowship, okay? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for just Moses' heart, Lord, toward his people, Lord. He had a passion to the end, We pray, Lord, that we would have a passion to the end, Lord, that we wouldn't grow dim, but that we would have this vigor within us, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would stir us up even today, Lord, that we would be willing to sit with those that are perhaps younger than us in the faith, that we get to explain the scriptures to them, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you give us opportunity for that, Lord. And Father, that we would dig for ourselves, Lord, and ask you, Lord, for your commentation on this, Lord. And so we praise you, we thank you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.